Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 221, recording this Sunday, April 15th, 2007. That's tax day here in the United States. Even though it's a Sunday, it's tax day. I don't know how that works. But thank you for downloading my show. I want to... it's been a couple weeks now, hasn't it? Yeah, it's been at least 2 weeks since I've done a show, and feels good to be back. I was out on the East Coast doing some stuff out there. I'll talk about that in just a minute. As you can tell from the show, we've got a couple of... we've got three guests for you that I think you'll enjoy. One of them is Jerry J, who you've probably seen in many videos around the internet, talking about the new dashboard update. We'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking to Jeremy, who is the lead developer who runs the team behind the new game Monster Madness Battle for Suburbia. That's a demo up on Xbox Live. You can download that for free. And then bringing up the rear is Trixie, who will tell you how you can win your very own Xbox 360 Elite. So I got three interviews and a ton of stuff to talk about today. I was going to see if I can have E. I was going to do the show with E. E has been a frequent, you know, guest slash co-host for the past couple shows. And he and I just couldn't connect this week. You know, I got back from the East Coast on Thursday and it's just been really busy. And he's been busy. And I don't know where he is. I've been looking for it on his IM and I don't know where he is. So maybe I'll get E back next week, because I really do enjoy doing shows with another person to talk about things with, because otherwise I'm just sitting in here with my dog at my feet, and she really doesn't bring a lot in the gaming space. All right, so I was out on the East Coast. It was an interesting trip. I went out there a few days early, spent some time with my family. My sister is going for her, master's? I don't even know anymore. But she's writing a paper on video gaming and libraries. And it was really interesting to kind of help her out and talk her through some of this stuff. So I've asked her if I can post the paper up online for you guys to listen to, or excuse me, for you guys to read when she's done. So she may agree to that. But it's just interesting to see somebody who doesn't live and breathe in the gaming space talk about it and write about it and kind of do some research about it. I'm sure everybody that listens to this show is into video games, so I'm sure it's, you know, you understand the same thing when you're chatting with somebody, what it's like to kind of really have a discussion about video games on a different level than you know, your friends that are really into it. So, and then after that, I went down to New York for the Guitar Hero 2 event, which was great. It was at the Virgin Megastore, as you all know, in Times Square, and that was just a blast to hang out with the guys from not the guys, first of all the winners, three guys and two girls, the winners from the Guitar Hero event, and then after that, of course, it was Gene Simmons, and the Gene Simmons interview, you really must go check that out up on Xbox.com, and I actually talk a little bit more about that in my interview with Trixie later on in the show. So it was a great event. It was a lot of folks there. I had a lot of people coming up and saying hello and just sticking their hands out. It was really great to meet everybody. Unfortunately, because when I'm doing the events and I'm running around taking photos, I just don't have a lot of time to stop and talk to everybody as much as I wish I did. Did get to spend a lot of time with the guys at Joystick, some of the folks from Joystick, which was interesting. And speaking of Joystick, so let's rock and roll right into it here. I want to nail this head on. There's been some chatter, for lack of a better term, in the community regarding the Guitar Hero 2 downloadable content. So I figured let's kind of talk about that for a little bit, shall we? Actually, before I get going, I forgot to mention something. It was great to have Sarah from the Gamerscore blog and Gamer Chicks. She was in New York with me as well, and she was taking some photos, and I'll put a link off to her blog. Off to her, the Gamerscore Flickr site, because they've got some great photos up there of the event. I've got some on my Flickr site as well, so... anyway, thanks. Pleasure hanging out with you, Sarah. All right, so Guitar Hero 2, the content went live... I guess that went live on Wednesday, didn't it? Same day as the event. You know, when you're traveling, I really lose all sense of time, space, and really reality when I'm traveling. So I was talking about the guys from Joystick. I did a little interview with them that they were videotaping it, but apparently the videotape, the quality of the audio in the videotaping wasn't very good, so they tried to transcribe it. I think they lost some of the essence of what we were talking about for a lot of the pieces, but for better or for worse, there it is. I'm sure they did the best they could. But I want to talk about the Guitar Hero 2 downloadable content, which has kind of been a piece in the community. It's I want to be clear right now. When I started my blog, which was 2004, I guess, I did it to have a dialogue with Xbox Live members and would-be members, and over the past 3 years, the blog has exploded into what it is today, which is kind of a lightning rod for a lot of things Xbox, which is fine. You know, I do this blog on my own time, like this show. I record this show on Sundays, usually. And I take what I do very seriously. These shows are produced on my own time, and they're my own opinions, just like the blog. So I want to make sure that I get that out of the way right up front. Okay, what I'm about to say is my own opinion, for the most part. But unfortunately, what I have to say is I may not have all the answers that you want to hear. And it's just, that's the way it is, and you're not going to understand that in just a moment. You know, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. I want to talk about that. So is the content too expensive for Guitar Hero 2? That's the question. And unfortunately, that's not for me to decide. That's for you to decide. And there's multiple ways you can do that. I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, the voicing your opinion on the blogs and the forums or so forth is clearly one way that you can do it. But I also want to be clear, is that prices are set by the publisher. Marketplace prices are set by the publisher. While we provide, Microsoft provides pricing guidelines and tiers, ultimately the publisher prices their content. I want to be very clear with that. A lot of people seem to get confused. I can't make excuses for the pricing as I wasn't involved with it and I have no say whatsoever in the matter. And that's the reality. My goal and my role for you guys as the community is to kind of roll up some of the feedback and share it with the right people. That's what I can do. I am empowered to do that, and I will continue to do that. I don't, you know, I can't wave a magic wand and change pricing. That's not my job. I would love to tell you more, but that's all that I know. I've chatted about this before. I'm not involved with the pricing side of the business. Just happens to be one of the most. I happen to be one of the most accessible members of the Xbox Live team, and one of the most visible members. So naturally, I'm going to take most, if not all, the heat, and that's fine. Because I can take the feedback, the good and the bad, and send it on to the right people. I appreciate appreciate you guys coming up and chatting about it, but I want to be very clear. Okay, let me say this again. I'm going to say this again. Prices are set by the publisher. While Microsoft provides pricing guidelines and tiers, ultimately the publisher prices their content. Okay? That's the deal. But that being said, I'm working on getting somebody on my show to talk more about the issue and marketplace pricing specific to this, but just in general. I know seems like every few months we go through this, and there's you know, it kind of bubbles up again. But I want to say very clearly, we hear you, we hear your voices, and more importantly, we see what you are and are not purchasing. I can't wave my hands and make changes, but I can be your voice here at Xbox, and that's what I'm doing each day. With the blog, with the show that I'm doing, there are plenty of places on the internet where people can speak their fairly, pretty much often, vulgar comments about some of the games or some of the content or what have you, some of which are on the blog. But I want to be very clear. I'm taking the feedback and I'm sharing it with the right people. I stand by what I've always said, which is you will never find another console maker that is in such an active discussion with the community as the Xbox team. That's true. Look around you and you'll see we're in a real-time conversation, as real-time as we can make it. Sometimes I'm on the plane, sometimes in a meeting. I can't just respond to every single thing. But I do read all the comments. Most of the people, the Xbox team, read all the comments. So I want to share that. Also, thank you for the feedback. Yes, we get it. Really. Okay? So that's, you know, like I say, I started off this little soliloquy talking about that maybe you may or you probably won't hear what you want to hear, but I also need to set up kind of the rules of the road here. So, all right. So thank you for indulging me and listening to me. Again, your feedback is being heard, or at least I am making it being heard, I should say. Making it being heard. Is that right? I am ensuring that it is being heard. Let's just say that. All right. Speaking of Guitar Hero 2, you should probably swing over to their forums. They've got... they've got an update, and there's a couple of threads over there, and on both the pricing content as well as the auto update that's available. So go ahead and take a look at that. I'll put links up on the blog to that. Also, while I was traveling, I was keeping rather busy with Twitter. So Twitter is kind of a microblogging thing. I've talked about that in past shows. And if you go to the blog at majornelson.com, on the left-hand side, you'll see this little gray box that has like, me, just random thoughts for me of what I'm doing around. If you're interested in looking at that, it's not for everybody. All right, let's move forward. All right, Halo 2 maps are out this week. They're going to be out the 17th, which is, it depends when you're listening to this. It's either a couple days away, a day away. It's today, or it's previous days. I don't know when you're going to listen to this. But it is April 17th. The Halo 2 maps are scheduled to come out. That's what it's looking like. I want to be very clear also, and I'll put a link off to this to Frankie's story over at Bungie.net. You will need a credit card to purchase these maps. So if you're really excited about the Halo 2 maps and you're playing Halo 2 in back compat mode on your Xbox 360, you will need a credit card. Okay, right now you can actually sign up for an Xbox 360 account without a credit card. You can go to a store and purchase points with a, just with cash. You can go down to your local game store and buy the different points cards for Xbox Live and come home and punch that code in and you're off to the races. But because this is, because the Halo 2 is running in backcompat emulation mode and the emulation mode has no concept of what points are, you are going to need a valid credit card attached to your account. The way you do that is pretty simple, and I can put a link off to how to do that, but let me walk through it real quickly. And this is actually my Xbox 101 tip of the week, so let's go ahead and roll that sound right now.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
All right, Xbox 101, how do you add a credit card to your account, to your Xbox 360 account? It's pretty simple. So in the console, you're going to go to the Xbox Live section of the Xbox dashboard. Select Xbox Live Marketplace, and then you're going to select Memberships, select My Memberships, select the membership that you want to modify, which is probably your, it says 12-month subscription or so on and so forth. Select Change Payment Options, select Add Credit Card, and then you can enter your credit card right there. So if you're getting ready for the Halo 2 maps this week, and they look fantastic, make sure you add a credit card to your account. It's a good thing to do that early rather than later, just so you can go in and make one-click purchase. So I don't want you to be frustrated when you start doing that. So all right, so that's the Xbox 101 for this week. And a public service tip is to you want to get yourself ready for the Halo 2 maps. That's what you need to do. All right, we've got three interviews for you this week. So let's kick it into interview number one right now. This week on the show, I have Jerry Johnson, who works on the... What team do you work on, Jerry, now? What is it called?
You can just keep it Xbox Live.
Xbox Live.
Yeah, we'll keep it simple.
That's right. So you are one door away from me, and you work on a lot of the dashboard features.
Yes. So pretty much anything you associate with Xbox Live, whether it's your friends list, the gaming integration, Marketplace... All those pieces.
All the stuff in the dash.
Yes.
And all the stuff that the way the games interact.
With Live, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. When you think about recent players, match, true skill, stats.
Now, I haven't had you on the show before. You and I have known each other for 7 years. And you, I don't know why I haven't had you on the show before. But you have the whole team that works on the Marketplace and achievements and matchmaking and all that stuff.
Yes.
You're in charge of all those guys. So everyone's probably really excited to have you on. So I wanted to get you on to talk about some of the features that we announced in the dashboard, which went out, I think it was last Monday.
Oh, you mean when the announcement went out?
Yeah, when the announcement went out. Yes. And just kind of, I know it's kind of tough for people to get their heads around it, but there's a ton of videos out there. In fact, you're Defender 90.
Yes, that would be the video that got leaked early that made it up onto YouTube.
Right,
yes.
That was
yes,
you.
Yes.
Well, you didn't leak it, but I'm saying that's your gamertag.
No, it was distributed, but it was it got out there out of the embargo.
But I want to talk about some of the features. The biggest feature that people are talking about is MSN Messenger integration.
Okay.
Explain us how it's going to work.
Okay, well,
first of all, answer some of the questions that you've seen that people are a little confused about.
Okay, whenever I lay out what we did with Messenger, I think the important thing to realize is when you think about Messenger, most people jump right to, that's the way you talk to, you do text chat.
Right.
Between PCs. But when we think about the Messenger integration, we were really focused on three aspects of it. And the first is just your contact list.
Right.
Right now in Xbox, you have a friends list. In Windows, or using Windows Live ID and Windows Messenger, you have a buddies list.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, those are two separate worlds for most people that are part of Xbox right now. You have your friends list and you have your buddies list, and there's no real overlap.
Right.
And the thing that we wanted to do was take this community of 260 million Messenger users and get that so that they could work with the 6 million Xbox members that we have right now. So there could be this crossover of this, basically your contact list.
So your worlds are now colliding.
Your worlds are now colliding. And there's really two benefits to this. We see the first thing is you'll hear us talk a lot about broadening and trying to open up gaming.
Look at this. We're doing the show and people are calling you. That's how busy Jerry is. Yeah, pick it up. Hang it up.
So sorry about that. When you think, will you edit that out? Yeah.
No, we can just leave it. We'll leave it in. Who cares?
You're gonna leave the phone.
Why not? I don't care. Oh,
okay. So when you think about your contact list, going back to thinking about broadening.
Right.
One of the biggest barriers we know for new users that are coming on the service is they don't know anybody. So when you start off with an Xbox Live account, you have exactly zero friends on your friends list. And we know that that's a barrier for people because when they first get on, your initial experience, depending on who you happen to get in game with,
can be kind of insulting, yeah.
Or it can be kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we took a look at is, okay, well, a lot of people coming onto the service already have a group of buddies on their Windows Messenger contact list. And we thought, wouldn't it be great if you could seed your friends list with people that were on your buddies list that were also Xbox Live members?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an instant way for somebody new coming onto the service who might have a lot of up to 600 contacts in Messenger is what the max is there. We actually take a look at that and we say, okay, when you first sign up and you say you want to use Messenger, we then ask, do you also want to send a friend invite to people on your Messenger list that are also Xbox Live members?
So what we're going to do is when you log in, when the dashboard comes out, which is probably like the first or second week of May, when that comes out and I log in for the first time and put in my credentials into the Xbox 360, the service is actually going to go, here's for instance, Major Nelson, who has all these people on my friends list. Here's all the people on my Messenger list. The service is going to say, oh, here's also people on your Messenger list that are also on Live.
Yes.
So you may discover people when you do this that you may not know that are on your...
And so it's a great thing. So I talked about the new user who has no friends.
Right.
In your case, I would imagine your friends list is probably pretty
a little full. Yeah, as you know.
So you're going to probably have to throw people off if you want to actually add them on.
Yep.
If you want to add them on. But yeah, we see this both for the existing customers who want to grow their friends list and actually understand that overlap between their Messenger world and their Xbox friends world.
Right.
And also is a great way for them to seed their friends list and actually have gaming contacts with a first experience on Xbox.
So some of the things that I've seen there are quite different in terms of how the interaction works. There's like a little black overlay that pops up now, and that's how the text sends back and forth.
Oh, as far as I am? So we talked about – so first, let's back up. We got the contact list and the overlay and understanding the value between bringing those together. The next thing we think about is presence, and that's actually showing what other people are doing when you're online.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's used to being online in Xbox, and you can see when someone's in a certain game and a certain map,
a certain level score,
whatever, the rich presence that shows up related to users that are online.
Right.
So we said, okay, another great thing is now you can actually expose the presence when you're on Xbox, and you're logged into Xbox and your Messenger account on your console.
Mm-hmm.
People that are on your friends list, or excuse me, your Messenger buddy list, even if they aren't Xbox Live users now,
they're going to see what I'm doing.
They're going to see a presence out there. And most people understand that custom presence string that you can put on the end of your Messenger tag in Windows Messenger. A lot of people type unique things.
Yeah, Trixie puts. I have her on my Messenger list, and she puts things on there that should not be repeated.
That's Trixie. So a lot of people put in
different things.
So what's going to happen now is when you're logged in to your Xbox Live Messenger on the console, your Windows Messenger on Xbox Live, what you're actually going to what will auto-populate there will be your Windows Live ID, which is always there, and then in that freeform text afterwards, we'll actually put in Xbox 360, colon, the game you're in,
colon,
and then in parentheses,
parentheses,
your gamer tag. So now, people that are on your buddies list and I am, even though they're not gamers, they're actually going to see when you're playing games.
Right.
And this presence going back both directions is another thing. So you got unified contact list. We've got presence showing up both directions.
Right.
And before I go into the third thing, which is the messaging, and that's when we'll get into the overlay, the first thing that comes up as soon as we talk about presence, most people go, well, what if I don't want people on
my buddies list? What if I have my boss on my IM and I don't want to see that I'm playing whatever, Gears of War?
There you go. Or you decide to stay home sick today.
Right.
And
you're not feeling too sick.
You're not feeling too sick. You don't want your boss seeing you popping up on IM in a game. What we did is with a quick hit of the Xbox 360 button, when you're logged in, it'll bring up the Xbox 360 guide.
Yep.
You pop down quickly into personal settings.
When he's actually doing this on screen.
So I pop into personal settings, online status.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've done is you can actually set your Messenger status different than your Live status.
So just to be clear, people probably haven't seen this. If you were to do this right now, you'd open up your status. You see online, away, busy, appear offline.
Right.
We have an entirely separate section right under that says Windows Live Messenger that says online, away, busy, appear offline.
And what this will enable is you, Major, when you want to stay home and play hooky and sick, you can go in and go ahead and leave your your Xbox Live status to online
or playing. Whatever.
So all your friends and everybody on Xbox will see you as being online, but you can click your Messenger status to say I'm offline.
Now you can do that before you log in, right?
You can.
Yeah. So basically the way it works is, for those people that don't know, is before you actually, as long as you don't have your account set to auto login, you can actually just go to appear offline, set your status to appear offline, and then log in, and it won't have you log into Xbox Live.
There you go.
So anyway, I'm sorry. So that's kind of cool. So
again, the presence, great to expose it, but also make it easy for you to hide your presence when you don't want to to show that to all your buddies. So then the last thing is, the messaging piece of that. And I think most people, if they've seen any of the videos that have come out.
And the screenshots.
The screenshots. The thing that was announced along with the software update that's coming is this new keyboard device for the controller that snaps right onto the controller. Most people have seen it. I don't know if you've had a chance to use it, Major.
I actually have let me just take a look at it. So I'm actually, here it is. So it actually, I'm holding it right here, and I'm actually gonna snap it into the bottom here. Hold on. Goes like this, and does that work right, Jerry?
Yep.
Oh, there it is. All right, so now I've got it. Oh, that's kind of cool. And it feels good, and it looks good.
And it's a nice big keyboard.
I mean,
it's and they hate it when I say it, but the QWERTY-based keyboard. So it's just like a normal keyboard as far as the keyboard layout.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I found it really, really nice to use, really solid. It's not too intrusive on the
controller. Does it screw up the balance at all? I mean, you've used it a lot more than I have.
I actually don't think so. I think if you're somebody who likes to wrap your... It depends on how you like to feel. How you hold your controller. Because your pinky and your second finger in there no longer wrap completely around the knobs on the controller. I actually leave it on all the time now.
You haven't had
a problem. I've been using it, and I leave it on all the time.
And I noticed also that there's some interesting buttons on here. There's, the 1 through 0, 1 through 9, 1 through 0. There's a QWERTY. There's also this green button, this red button, this little balloon. What are some of those buttons?
So they're basically function keys that allow you to get access to alternate characters within the keyboard. So you can see, like, the at sign would be if you hit the red button in Q.
Right.
So you have two alternate keys for every key that's on there.
Right.
Additionally, there's a couple other keys that'll bring up some special functionality that's only applicable related to Xbox.
So into the dashboard.
And we'll actually do that. So first thing to talk about, we've got this great great keyboard peripheral that'll be coming out in the summer time frame that will definitely be a good thing to accompany the Messenger software that's shipping.
And Jerry and I have no idea what it's going to cost.
No idea.
They haven't told us
what it's going to cost. The one thing that they have announced is, you'll notice when they do, it will be distributed with a new headset as well.
Because on the bottom, and a lot of people have picked up on this who have seen the photos up on this thing called the internet, is that it's a 2.5 millimeter plug, standard.
Yep.
So basically, your old Halo 2 headset will work. The Major Nelson headset will work. It's just that little puck, that little mini puck. Why isn't the puck in there?
Because they're actually, the new headsets that they're moving to are actually going to have all those controls. That puck was there. It actually helped support the mute and the volume control.
And the volume control, yep.
And now that stuff will actually be in line and doesn't require a custom plug.
So don't worry about that, people. If you see that and you notice that there's the answer there. Okay.
So
that's I'm just looking at that. That's kind of cool. And it's backlit.
It's backlit, and it's backlit in some very interesting ways, and I'll give you a demo of one of the cool things that goes on with it.
Okay.
So there's two different ways you can actually use this. There's what we call it's in the guide experience.
Right.
So I can hit and if we back up and just go ahead and let's move around the dash real quick here.
Yep. Your controller fell asleep.
There we go.
Okay.
So one thing you'll notice on the Xbox Live tab, the third button down, it used to go messages, friends, and then Marketplace.
Yep.
Marketplace button has been removed, and we'll come back to that at the end of the show. But what's there now is this chat button.
Right.
When I actually come down to that chat button, it'll bring me into the typical chat interface that everybody's used to, which supports video and voice chat.
So
you'll notice it's actually a two-tab scene now.
Yeah, I see the tab up at the top.
So if I tab over to the other scene, it's a messenger.
Okay.
So all my chat is located in one place now, and I can get to it through here. If I go ahead and start a new conversation, I can there as well. Honestly, I don't know if this will be the normal way. This is actually a good place if you're running multiple conversations to come manage it.
To bounce back and forth.
Yeah, to bounce back and forth different conversations. But I think a real common place is actually going to be on the friends list.
Okay.
So what I'm doing right now with the Major is we're bringing up the friends list. And I've got... I've got probably about 85 to 100 friends on my friends list right now.
On your regular Xbox
list. On my regular Xbox friends list. And what I'm doing right now is looking at my friends list. I have the default view that everybody's used to.
Right.
And it shows right now I've got 18 people online.
Yep.
If you notice down at the bottom, because I'm logged into Messenger as well, it says show my contacts as mm-hmm. well. As so soon as I hit that
hit Y
button, I just went from 88 to 44 people online. Because I have about 85 Messenger contacts mm-hmm. and about 85 to 100 friends on my list right uh-huh. now. And if I look at that, well, it's the middle of the day, so most of my friends aren't gaming right now. There are only 18 people online. But right. I had another 30-plus friends that are actually in Messenger right now.
Okay.
Or contacts in Messenger. So now I have contact and not just the 18. But again, this is expanding that friends list. Or your contacts list.
So basically you're going to go to the new the friends list, which we all know and love, and you're going to be able to kind of have a filter on it.
Yep, be able to toggle it, whether you want to just look at your gaming friends
right.
or if you want to look at your friends and your contacts easily.
Do you have E on your friends list? We can send him a nasty message.
Yeah, I do, but he's not logged on right now. Do your fans out there? Oh, actually,
there he is.
He's away, though. He is online, so let's see what he's doing. He is... he's in his dashboard as well, listening to music in the middle of the day.
That's what he does.
That's all about.
Slacker.
Okay. But what I'm doing right now is I'm popping in, and I can see all my contacts. And in my contacts list now that I'm – or my friends list that's showing my friends and contacts, my Messenger contacts right now, I can pick anyone and message them if I want. So if I pick up – let's actually go. Are you logged on in your machine right now? Let's go over to your account.
So
I go into Major Nelson. It shows Major Nelson. It also shows your Windows ID, both there.
Yeah, because we're also on my Messenger list, so it shows them right there.
So if I go in, I see the gamer profile that everybody's used to seeing.
Yep.
Go in, I can look at the games you've played, check out your gamer score, all the great stuff. But at the same time, once I'm in the gamer card, I can also hit Y here, and what it does is it flips me between my gamer card and what we're calling our Windows Live contact card.
Right.
From this contact card, I see your Messenger information.
Mm-hmm.
And I can start an instant message right here.
Okay.
So if I go ahead and hit A, bring up the instant message dialog. I've actually got a conversation going with you.
Yeah.
With the keyboard device.
You almost called it what we called it internally.
We have an internal name for it, but it's not what like I said, they haven't come up with the final name. So.
Can we say what that internal name is?
No, because I always get in trouble from PR when I use the internal name. So.
I'll tell you what it is later.
So what I can do right now is I could use the keyboard device, or if I didn't have a keyboard,
right?
If I didn't have a keyboard, or I could also plug in a USB keyboard right now and use it. But if I had neither of those, I could go ahead and
hit Y.
Hit Y, and Y. What Y will do is it'll bring up the virtual keyboard,
the standard keyboard that everybody knows.
And I can sit here and use a virtual keyboard to carry on the chat. Now this is I look at this and I think this is a very it's not the ideal way that we designed to use this, because when you think about IM is it's great if you're sitting on the couch, you can come in and do this exclusive experience, but we really think the powerful thing around this is when you do it concurrent to either being in a game or watching a movie,
right?
And so this is more the the utilitarian type of interface that's available. Everybody can use it, but what I'd like to show you is the other interface that we have in here for messaging.
Okay.
So I don't know, let's go ahead. You mind if I start a movie?
Go ahead.
Let's go ahead. We'll start.
So you're over to the media tab. You're going down to video. You're going to go down to console. And you're going to drill yourself, take a look at some of the movies here. All right. So we're going to go in here. And let's see what kind of... Actually, yeah, give me that controller. Let me see if I can pick this out. So we're going to look at the Mass Effect trailer that you downloaded.
Okay.
And we're going to go to play. And there it is. All right. So now it's playing.
Okay.
Well, that looks great.
So now we're actually watching a video right now.
Yep.
And what I'm going to do is I just picked up my cell phone.
Okay.
And I've got Messenger on my cell phone, and I've got another account right now.
Right.
I'm logging into Messenger on my phone.
Okay.
And as soon as it finishes doing this.
So while you're doing that, we're playing this video. So we're going to be able to... It's seamless is what I think you're getting.
Yeah, I think what I want to show you is messaging is something that you can initiate from the Xbox, but it's also something that people can contact you while you're doing things, whether you're in a game, whether you're watching a movie, whether you're waiting for Messenger on your phone to log in, which I'm doing right now. One second. Should have set this up better. I apologize.
It's okay. We're busy.
What you get for just coming into my.
I want to talk, but while you're doing that, I want to go back to the friends list for a second. I also noticed that not only on the friends list is it showing your, you know, who's online and the messengers, but it also has a little icon on the right hand side there. So just my messenger list, my Windows Live people, it has a little computer.
Yep, it has a computer. The cool thing is now, why don't you? I just logged in. I'm on your friends list, so I just logged into the.
Okay, go ahead and I'll let you.
Go down to the. Right here.
Okay.
And
got it.
What it shows you is Messenger.
Right.
And on the right hand side, what you actually see is a little phone icon.
So if you're logged in on your phone, the phone icon's going to show up there.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's wild.
So I'm logged into my phone right now, and I'm going to go ahead and I just sent you a message from my phone.
Okay.
Let's go back to the video while you're watching.
Oh,
the
there
video.
It is.
So you got a toast.
Yep.
Go ahead and close that down, and then what you'll see is that toast came up, and take a look at your controller.
Yep.
You'll see the Messenger button. The Messenger button is flashing right now. Isn't that pretty cool?
Oh, that is cool.
Now go ahead and just hit that flashing button.
I got it.
And now this is what we call the overlay, and it's this transparent.
Oh, look at that.
Transparent message box that comes up right over whatever you're doing, and now all your keyboard control is being directed right into there, and so you can watch a movie, you can play a game, and if you get an invite, or you can start a conversation. You can then use this transparent overlay on top of a game or a movie to actually carry on conversation.
It also looks like there's what's this do?
You can actually pop between different conversations as well. So let's say you had multiple conversations going.
Yep.
The green button together with the arrows at the bottom allow you to cycle through different conversations inside this transparent overlay on top of.
And it blinks, and it's black. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It looks nifty.
So it's kind of a really nice, tight, integrated experience from the hardware to the software to the service to the both the live.
So we're going to go all the way back out because I want to go to the friends list again. So,
oh, yeah. Wait. You just saw the notification come up. I'm going to throw out another feature I think it might be popular that's coming out with the spring release.
Oh, yeah.
Gamer score and achievements.
Yeah.
So can I just, since we just saw a notification pop up, that notification that you just got related to Messenger.
Right.
There's other types of notifications, and I think one of the most popular one is that you have earned an achievement.
The achievement unlocked.
Yep, achievement unlocked notification. One of the things that we heard from a lot of people were, we love achievements. And we found that the first thing everybody did whenever they got an achievement was hit the Xbox 360 button.
Hit the guide button.
Stopped whatever they were doing.
Right.
To go look at what they just got.
What'd I get? 5 points, 10 points, 1 point, 100 points.
What was the achievement?
Right.
And you'd have to do it, and then you'd drill in, and then you'd go look. And it was kind of it's very gratifying to find out what you got, but at the same time, it can be annoying to people you're playing with to stop in the middle of what you're doing. One of the simple things we did is we took a look at the achievement notification, that pop-up that comes up, and now it'll actually give the name and description of the achievement along with the number of gamer score you got. So you don't have to stop what you're doing and drill in.
The only reason you have to drill in is if you want to know how did you actually get it, because some of the ones are a little more obscure. You know, 100 kills, well, that one's pretty self-explanatory. All right. Anyway.
Okay. So that was another note. That was another feature that we added this year.
I have another. I see another one on this blade that no one else has really been talking about.
Oh well, there's one there, and if I had a game in there, you'd see it too.
So yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But what I'm talking about is you're on the Xbox Live Blade right now, and up in your gamer card, where it says Defender 90 and all your information, there's a little so internally we call them wedgie men.
Yes.
There's a little wedgie man there, and so it's basically I assume it's showing your status.
Yes.
So now when you're away, it's going to have the little away icon. So now you can't if you forgot or if you logged yourself into offline, it'll show that.
You'll see presence there. Some of the changes in presence, this right now you're talking about an example of looking at your own presence.
Right.
Another feature that went into the spring update that we heard from our users is one of the things when they get into friends list or recent players list, one of the things that they want to do is know how to get into a game as fast as possible.
Right.
So right now, whenever you go into your friends list, you can see everybody that's online, but it doesn't necessarily mean you can join them.
Oh.
So when you go in and see...
Because on sometimes some games you can drill down and I can say, oh, Defenders 90's playing such and such, let me join him.
Okay. And when you see them, you can see that they're in a game.
Yeah.
And then the only way from that list that you know whether you can jump into a game or if they're open right now to actually join your game is to actually drill into their gamer card.
Yep.
One of the things that we've done up on the friends list is along with showing whether somebody's online or not, we're actually added this little icon, which is just an arrow pointing into the.
Where's that going to appear?
It'll appear right next to the wedgie man.
Okay.
So the wedgie man's colored in green means he's online.
Yep.
If you ever see an arrow pointing in, what that means is they're actually in an active session right now that has an open slot that's joinable. So if one of your friends is out playing Crackdown, and they're in co-op mode and they've got an open slot, and you want to jump in, you don't have to go into everybody's
to find
gamer
out.
Card to see if they're joinable. You'll see your list of friends or in your list of recent players, and if there's a little arrow pointing in, you'll see the game that they're in, and you know that they have an open slot that you can just
join.
Hit A, join in progress right away, and you're in.
That's cool.
So again, make.
I don't think we've seen that one anywhere yet. I don't think anybody's picked up on that one.
It's just another one of those little features that are going in. Again, listening to the fans out there about some of the things that they want to do, and one of them is get into a game as fast.
So just to be clear, Jerry, because you work on the dashboard, your team works on this stuff. When you say listen to fans, you guys read my blog.
What did I just show you today?
Yeah, yeah. You actually have an internal team site where it has my RSS feed right on the front page of it, an internal site. So what I'm saying is we really do read the blogs and the forums and all the rest of that stuff.
Yes.
Which everyone is asking for. They want two things I hear all the time, and then we'll get back to this. They want an increase in the friends list and group chat.
Okay.
So let's talk about the increase in friends list.
Okay, well, first, I don't get all your fans excited because the spring update will not have either
one. I've already said that.
Okay?
I have
Are
said
you guys
that.
Clear on that?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that we did when we launched, so by bringing Messenger friends over,
yep,
or your Messenger contacts over, we just increased the list from 100 friends plus up to 600 Messenger contacts.
Right.
So you can have a lot more people in there, but we still are capping the number of friends on your friends list at 100.
Right.
There's a bunch of things that we'd like to do related to friends list. We actually have a long list of features.
We're not going
to
talk about them because some of them are super cool, top secret.
Yes, but we do. We architected it in a way that we can go above 100 friends in that friends list.
Right.
There's things that we want to do right now before we ever take that on. We want to make it easier to understand who everybody is in your friends list. Most of the people that I know that have 100 friends in their friends list, do you know everybody? Do you know you know their gamer tag?
I can't remember how I met them. People want like little sticky notes. Met him on such and such game. He was cool guy, or this guy was okay.
Friends list needs to be expanded upon. We understand that.
Right.
But it needs to be done in a way that actually continues to give users more context about who those users are.
Right. Okay.
So a lot of different features still in planning. Our toughest thing is figuring out what are the best things that we can do within a particular release. It's being considered for future releases. And similar with the voice chat. I know everybody asks for multi-party voice chat. Mm-hmm. We totally realize the value of that. At the same time, one of the things that we've really focused on was how do we give users experiences that they can have concurrent with their games.
Right.
We really see the value in a situation where you have multi-party chat,
mm-hmm,
to actually be able to do these things when you're in a game or when you're watching a movie or doing something that is, and when we think about this, we always call it the concurrent experience. You can think about it whenever that guide pops up. That guide is your interface to do things concurrently, to playing games, watching movies, browsing, mm-hmm, the dash, whatever, mm-hmm, it is. And it's one of those things that when we do introduce group chat, it's something that we actually want to do in a very holistic way.
Right.
So, to answer your question, we hear the fans on this.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that we want to do, and we also want to do it right.
Good. Okay. All right. So, let's get back to the coolness here. Uh-oh. All right. So, we're on a new Blade.
Yes. So, I mentioned earlier that when we were on the Xbox Live Blade, the Marketplace button had, mm-hmm, been replaced with the chat button.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we also found that Marketplace is great. We got a ton of content up there. We got video content. We have a ton of gaming
free
content.
And premium.
Yep. Big and small, high def, standard def, yeah, all kinds of content up there. But one of the things that we found were a lot of people weren't actually drilling down and actually finding the Marketplace.
Right.
So what we've done is we talk about the Blade interface. This was in the current dashboard that's out there. You have the Xbox Live, the Games, Media, and System Blades.
Mm-hmm.
These are these top level interfaces inside the dashboard.
Yep.
What we've added to the far left now is a new Blade. It's called the Marketplace Blade.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually taken the Marketplace and pushed it up to the top level.
Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't looked at this. Is there a redesign of Marketplace? Because a lot of people say they're struggling finding content.
So the video Marketplace was introduced last fall.
In November, yep.
Yep, and when it was introduced, I think a lot of people noticed that there were some new UI paradigms in there.
Right.
One of the things that we really saw that was introduced there was the ability to see a list of content.
Yep.
And instead of it just being a flat list of movies, you actually have what we call this meta panel over to the right-hand,
yep,
side. It allowed you to go through a list, and as you navigated the list, the meta panel just changed and showed you more detail about,
right,
that. Well, the Video Marketplace had that and some other sorts and filters in it. We wanted to bring some of those over to the gaming content. It didn't happen to the gaming content in the fall.
Right.
So now when you navigate through the game section inside Marketplace, you, yeah, actually, whenever you're in these long lists of games, you actually have this meta panel,
so
which gives you more
go
information.
Go ahead and show me.
So that's
the first time I've seen this.
So I go into we'll go into games, new arrivals, and as I bring up a list on new arrivals, one of the things I'll notice, it's not this list of just things straight across.
Yeah, we're using the information a little better.
Yep. So now as you navigate through any of these lists, you can actually see more details about what each item is.
Right.
As you contextually navigate through this list.
So, Boom Boom Rocket, you need to download that. I haven't looked at it yet.
You know, I haven't taken any of the Guitar Hero stuff.
Really?
Be for this weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to keep practicing. I got to stay ahead of my 8-year-old.
Yeah.
okay, so another thing that we did in Marketplace, and I'll just bring this up. We've got an actual demo of it. We wanted to add some more richness. We wanted to give our partners the ability to actually create some custom spaces where they can market their things, give the users more information about the content that they're putting up there, other than just a list and a meta panel.
Yeah.
So what we did is we created first thing you'll notice is
– Well, wait a minute. What's going on over there?
So that's a banner. It's an internal banner we created. This one was just a sample, and it's done around Forza 2 Motorsport. And you'll notice that it's actually animated animated images as you come into the different banners that are rotating.
Right.
And it's also contextual to when you set context.
So when you have focus or not.
When you put focus on the button, it also can have actions
on it.
That's
cool.
So if we go ahead, what this allows us to do is create some – we call it a branded detail page. So it allows our partners to actually create custom images, custom actions with inside these pages.
Right.
And it's not just allowing them to put a background image and create a list and put images in here. They can actually embed video directly in these pages as well. And
here's video.
So this is an example of the Forza Motor 2.
This is streaming.
It's not really streaming. We call it progressive download. So what it's doing, it's actually downloading it to the box, and while it's downloading it, it starts playing it.
Interesting.
And then it'll flush it after it's done.
Right. So it's kind of streaming.
From a user perspective, it seems like streaming, yes. But the cool thing about this is you can create a custom little store experience, whether it's Major going up there, and hopefully you'll take advantage of one of these and create a custom page up there for one of
Well,
your,
let's be clear.
For one of your
For the for show, for my
pieces,
podcast.
For one of your pieces.
So let's be clear. A lot of people ask me why, Major, they want to have my why don't you have your podcast on the Marketplace? You're the man that can make it happen.
Yeah,
I want to be clear. So send a note to Defender 90.
Give me a break. You know I don't run the business aspects of this, Major. You're going to get me in trouble. But anyways, this is things that our partners internally, whether we're trying to get information out on everything from family safety to any, Bungie wants to build out a page that actually shows more detail around.
So it's a richer experience. And for those people that are in North America that have the video Marketplace, sometimes when you go into like the CBS or the Comedy Central and you see the big logo in the back, it's kind of like that, but much richer. I think it's the best way. Just to give people who are trying to visualize this.
Yeah, I think of it, it's just bringing a lot more richness to the way that you can actually go up and view and discover things. And it's also kind of creative in that our partners can come in here, and it's kind of like a blank slate for them to come in and think about what are the type of things that they want to expose, or the options that they want to expose, or the content that they want to expose to actually promote their games.
All right, what else we got here? This is cool. I'm realizing, 30 minutes into this that we should have just done this as a video podcast, but let's continue.
So, I don't know. There's different things that were done in Marketplace. The Network and Studios page has actually been updated. Again, looks more like a channel guide now, doesn't it? I mean, you actually...
Looks like my Wii.
Watch it. But you can come in here, and each studio has basically an icon. It represents the channel, and you can click into any one of these inside the Marketplace and find the content that each one of these networks or studios. And again, it's a branded experience once you click through on each one of those. So again, just kind of making it easier, getting more content into Marketplace, making it easier to find things, giving our partners the ability to merchandise and actually show off their content better.
Go over to the Media Blade for a second, because there's a lot of buzz about some of the new media formats.
Okay. Can I show you one more thing before you go there?
Oh, sure.
It's kind of related.
Sure.
I just want to run through. So let's hit up. The arcade section as well.
Oh, yeah.
Arcade pretty popular with your
crowd. Oh, yeah. Oh, please, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know that.
So one of the things that arcade team went and did was take a focus on how they can do things around their it's contextual to your friends. So one of the things is being able to quickly come in here and see if you have friends playing in arcade titles. They have a little section that allows you to go in and see, do I have anybody in my friends list that's in playing arcade? Let me quickly get in and join them. Another thing that they did, they built into here was as you go in and look at the games that are on your list, they've added a couple different things where you can go in and look at a a more complete leaderboard and achievement comparison with your friends.
Okay.
As well as they added this feature called Telefriend.
What is that?
You pop into Telefriend, and what it does is it pre-populates three or four different messages related to the game that you just went into.
Right.
And one of them, it's the standard, go check out this arcade game.
Yeah, check this out.
One of my favorite ones is, hey, it'll instantly create a message that tells what was your last achievement you just earned, or it'll create a message, a pre-canned message that'll say how many achievements you've earned and how much gamer score you've gotten out of a particular game.
So let me point this out. So, like, for
quick
instance,
brag mail.
So you've got worms already. So you have worms is the one you looked at. Mm-hmm. So you're able to easily go in there, and obviously the console knows what your last achievements were, all your achievements on that game, and your gamer score, and you can quickly send it saying, hey, in fact, you're sending me one right now. I earned three achievements in Worms worth 45 points.
A. I was in there. I was getting ready to launch the game. It says, send to a friend. I hit A. It brings it up. It says, pick the message. I picked the message. It was, I have three achievements, 45 gamer score.
Right.
I hit A again.
Boom.
It takes me to the friends list. I picked you. I hit A again. I just sent my brag mail to you.
And then so there's the other option is where it just shows you the last one that you earned.
Correct.
That's cool.
So again, it's
contextual.
Cool. And all focused around your friends too. It's I think the arcade experience is it's all about how you have your close-knit community and you do these casual.
So I noticed there was another feature up there in the arcade one.
Yeah. The last one we'll walk through is kind of ties back to Marketplace as well. And this is this concept of auto downloads. We made two significant changes related to downloads.
Okay.
One of them is we've always had the option that if we wanted to sign up for Arcade going forward, whenever new games were released, you could download them to your box and set it up to auto download the trial versions of Arcade.
Which is the way it exists today.
Yep, it's the way it exists today. For that auto downloads, we actually added another feature, and it's this is really for the people who just got a new box.
Okay.
So right now, we had 40, I think we're up to 50 arcade titles.
A little more than 50,
Tuesday,
yeah.
Tuesday, we're, 50 or yeah. 51 on Tuesday, which is about 1.2, 1.3 gig of space to take all those trial games.
Right.
What you can do now is the first time you plug in your console, you come over to Arcade, you have auto downloads, there's an option to say, download all trial games to my box. What it'll do is it'll download all 50 trial games down to your box, and now you'll be able to try out the different ones, and you don't have to go through and pick them, and then you can delete the ones you don't want.
Now,
so it quickly populates your box with every arcade trial and lets you play around with them.
Does that work with the low power mode?
So that's the second download feature. And yes, it would actually work with the low power
mode. Let's explain that.
So one of the other changes we made to downloading is everybody knows the Xbox 360 console back it was about a year ago. It was a year ago. It was last spring release, I believe, that we actually added the background downloading feature.
That's right.
And it's something none of the other consoles do right now. And it
Correct.
Gives you the ability to actually start downloading content. And while that content's downloading, you can go do things like play in a single-player game, browse Marketplace,
watch a movie,
listen to music, watch a movie. So there's things that you can do concurrent to downloading a game right now.
Right.
But one of the things that we found, again, talking to the users is, a lot of times they don't do that even concurrent. What a download exercise for a lot of people is I'll play tonight and it's 2 in the morning, I'm going to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done playing. I'll go over and say I want to queue up some other things that I wanted to download and have it go on when I walk away from the box. So in conjunction with that, what we did is over on the system tab now in console settings, if I scroll down, I have this shutdown option.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the shutdown option, I can actually queue up background downloads. And what this does is background downloads on shutdown is if I have queued up a bunch of downloads, while those downloads are running, I just go over and turn off my box. And what it does is it doesn't really turn the box all the way off. It puts it into a low power mode in which there's power running to the hard drive and to your network card, and you're still getting the download into the box, but it's in low power mode. The only thing you see is a little light flashing on the front of the console. It'll complete the download to the box, and then when the download queue is completely empty on the box,
it shuts itself off.
It'll shut the
console down. That's cool. I didn't know that. That's cool.
So again, it's just continuing to look at different ways in which people are downloading content, getting games and content.
So you shut your box. So you actually say, okay, here I want these three or four downloads. I want this movie. I want this high def movie, this game demo, and this whatever. And you shut your box off, and it shuts off, but it's actually not really off. It's kind of quietly drowsy.
There you go. There you go.
All right, I get it.
And so let's back out. Oh, one more thing on the dashboard I'll just talk about. Another thing that we're always looking for is ways to keep users from having to get out of the couch.
Dude, this one I've been asking for. You know I've been asking for this feature since day one.
So a lot of people sit down, turn their console on with their controller, look, and then they're like, you default to just start up to the dashboard.
Right.
They'll look and they won't know what game's in the game tray.
Right.
Now what we've done is we actually, simple little thing, Take a look at the game tray. The game tray on the actual dashboard now will show you what game is in the tray.
I've been asking for that since before launch, since I knew we weren't going to have that launch. That's, and it also works with original Xbox games.
See, we listen to you, Major.
I know. See, I'm just passing through what everyone else out there is saying. So, that's my favorite feature. Okay. I don't know why. Maybe I don't let you get off the couch.
My favorite feature is the achievement test.
Yeah, I got to experience that one, so you're probably right. Go back to...
Not to dish IM, because IM is super
right,
cool.
That's
I'm talking
like,
about the little fine-tuned features.
Yeah, the little cool
little
things. Go back to media for a second.
Okay.
All right, so we've got all these things in here. Let's talk about videos. I kind of cornered you on that a little earlier. There's some additional codec support?
And I'm far from the expert on everything that we've done related to the video pipeline on the
right.
box, but a couple of the things that are out there is we've added a couple different new codecs.
Okay.
And I know that reading through your forums, I know that there's a couple different codecs that people are still asking for, which aren't in the press release.
DivX.
Yeah. And I don't have any official thing to say, but we're always evaluating different codecs.
Right. So it's not in
licensing
right.
related to different codecs
right.
to determine
right.
what is the right time and the right cost structure to bring yeah. some of those codecs
right.
on board.
Right. Got it.
So there but we did continue to make some enhancements around media playback. One of the first things is I talked about we don't really stream. We do this progressive download. And progressive download basically allows the content to start playing before it's fully downloaded.
Right.
They made improvements in the performance where we've seen in the high-def movies the startup on consoles in the progressive playback is actually starting up to 3 times faster than it was previously in certain high-def movie cases. So, again, improving the performance, getting the downloads. The
right.
other thing that they added is... we call them the transport controls, the ability to be able to fast forward and go backward and pause a movie.
Mm-hmm.
When things were in progressive download mode, that used to not be enabled.
You couldn't do anything.
Until the whole thing was downloaded.
Right.
We made a change so that you can actually go back or pause during a progressive download while it's downloading. So again, I'm giving you the control that if you do start watching a movie, you can actually pause it and rewind it and do
right.
things while the movie's still downloading in the background.
You know what people really want?
What's that?
They want to be able to do that in music. Fast forward and rewind in music
okay.
in their audio experience. I see that a lot.
Okay,
just giving you an idea. I got
yeah,
you.
No,
I got your ear for a second.
You got my ear, and one of those things is, we'll work together with the teams that own the different aspects of it, including the media piece. And you talk to all of us here, Major.
Yeah, people think I'm I'm running up and down the hall saying, hey, we need to add this or that or this. And I get shooed out of the room. It's a little annoying.
You never get shooed out of
the
room.
No, that's true. So we're looking at the Media Blade. We're looking at games. Hey, how is the marketplace going to be skinned? So I bought a theme. There's now a new Blade.
New Blade. Yeah, that's actually an excellent point. So one of the things is all themes apply to the 4 existing Blades.
Okay.
And what we've done is we actually evaluated what we wanted to do with this 5th Blade. We could have replicated a theme that had been on another Blade. There's
right.
a couple different options we had. But what we felt was we'd like to have a marketplace in which we can actually create a customized experience based on the store that we wanted to present. So
okay.
think about, and everybody's been to different sites, whether you go to MSN homepage gets customized because of a specific day.
Or Google does it all the time.
Yeah, you can say that, not me. anyways, when you take a look at our marketplace Blade now, one of the things that we did is St. Patrick's Day was the other day, and I know internally they mocked up a background that made it the St. Patrick's Day Blade.
Got it.
For St. Patrick's
Day. So we can just
Day.
Make it cool stuff like that.
We can do it. We can theme it to content if we have a big release of some big super blockbuster title that's
right.
coming out one day and we want to brand the page for
right.
that title, we can.
So
we want to do it for a holiday. We want to, however we want to present this Blade, we can customize this Blade.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So that doesn't screw around with the existing theming.
Yeah.
All right. So did we miss anything? We got marketplace. There's actually a lot of cool stuff here.
Yeah.
A lot of little things, some big things.
Yeah. There's just a ton of little things. When we looked through it, I remember we did that. We have what we call tickets. So every time we do a work item,
right?
Is that
new?
On the arcade.
Yeah. I guess so. It's a featured game. The one thing I also noticed was, and do you have a game? I want to pop it in here.
Sure.
Because I was reading it, and I haven't seen this yet. But here, I'm opening your. I haven't seen this yet, but they, according to the description that I read on Xbox.com, and I linked to this, when you put the game in there, it will actually pre-populate the right-hand side with some of the achievements you have.
Oh, yeah. Sure does.
Show me what that looks like.
Yeah.
So Jerry's putting the disc, and he's putting in Guitar Hero. And so it's reading the disc, and as you, if you put focus on the disc tray at the bottom, where it says the game name, My understanding is it's going to actually populate some of the data on the right-hand side.
What it's going to do is autoplay right now, so let me pop back out to the dashboard.
It seems quicker. The blade seemed quicker.
They actually did make continually evaluating different areas in which we can make performance improvements.
Right.
Definitely something. I was going on to say that within the team, there were we call them tickets. Basically, every time there's a work item or something that we want to take on as a feature, we open up a ticket on it. So over 1,600 tickets in this one release. So there's all kinds of little things. Some of them are performance related.
Some you're not going to see.
A bunch of them, the users don't even see. They're actually internal workings of the system. But
so I see Guitar Hero 2 says in the disc tray, but if you go down over to the, if you're on the, the games blade. Let's go down there. It's actually going to that's cool. So it's got a little box, and it says the name, what your gamer score, you have 90 of 1,000, and your four recent achievements.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Again.
It's nifty.
Yep. A lot of little things like this, and as users get into it, hopefully that some of the stuff they'll notice right away. Some of the stuff hopefully just comes natural, because that was one of the reasons we made some of these changes.
Yeah.
Some of the reasons we made some of these changes.
Wow. All right. So I think I've had you for enough, Jerry. I apologize. We've been going on for 40 minutes.
Okay. Well,
got anything else you want to talk about? I mean, this is pretty extraordinary.
No, I get excited every time we do one of these releases, and we try to do them twice a year right now.
Yep.
And that's the schedule we've been on since we launched. And every time we do it, I think we get excited about the stuff. And one of the things I think is the most disappointing is the stuff that we wanted to get in there and we're in it. But as soon as this ships, then we're all excited.
Because you're already working on the next one.
We're working on fall already and thinking about all the things that we want to get in for
fall. This will be out the first or second week of May. It's a free update when you connect to Xbox Live. Now, people don't really know this, but there's some people that listen to my show that maybe are not on Xbox Live. So how do they get the dashboard update?
There's two different ways. There's actually three different ways dashboard update gets out to users. The fastest way is as soon as it's ready and what we call certified, signed off by testing, goes up on Xbox Live, and then
I post about it, and everyone pulls it down.
As soon as someone tries to connect to the service, they basically say, you want to connect to the service? Here, take this update, and then you can connect.
And it's not a 100 meg download. It's fairly small.
No, it's actually it's pretty quick. It's less than a minute, most connections that everybody's done with downloading it and applying it to their boxes. The other two ways in which the dashboard update gets distributed, as soon as it gets certified, then we work together with the way we actually publish and create the game discs that are distributed, so that if people take a game disc, it'll actually be on there. Let's say we release the second week of May. Up on the live service. Then within a few weeks, we're working with manufacturing and certification to actually get it integrated in with the games. And then at the same time, we start working with manufacturing that actually produce the consoles. And so consoles actually then get that.
So there's a lot of things going on. Yeah, there's one way. You don't have to be connected to Live to get it.
You don't, but it is the fastest way to get it, and we guarantee that anybody who is connected to Live gets it for free, whether they're a paid subscriber or a silver subscriber.
Right. All right, that's cool. All right, I'm going to let you go finish. I guess you got some... You need to get some more gamer score. And well, look what I'm talking to Guitar Hero.
What's your gamer score in Guitar Hero?
Pull it up. Let's take a look.
Okay.
Let's see how much I suck. Now, mind you, I've been away. I was with Gene Simmons in New York. You know that.
Yeah. Did you have him playing the guitar for you?
Well, he was not playing for me. He wasn't really interested in playing the guitar, I'll tell you that. He was playing his guitar. He didn't really understand Guitar Hero. He's like, this isn't good to show you how to do music.
Yeah, this doesn't teach you music.
Yeah, that's the way he was. This isn't going to teach you how to be a rock star, is what he kept telling me. All right, so you're going up to you're now on your friends list. You can see I'm logged on Messenger in my office.
Yeah, let's go. Compare games.
Compare games is one of the greatest features we ever had in there. Guitar.
I got you beat, man.
By
70.
20. What do you have that I don't? Rock School grad. You have Dimebag Darrell, extra credit, and Rock School grad.
No, you have Dimebag Darrell. What do I have that you don't? I have Rockstar, Shredder,
and Axe Grinder.
You've been playing. I've been going through easy mode and grabbing a few achievements from moving through different venues.
You want to know what I did?
What did you do? Looks like he's sinking down in the chair.
I brought in my guitar the day before I left, and I had it in my office because I got that big screen in my office, and I just logged into my Major Nelson, logged into my profile. Left Guitar Hero in there, and then just set the guitar on the chair and went to a few meetings for a few hours, and people were coming by playing, and I got two achievements for doing nothing. I think Stryker got me that one, the Dimebag Darrell one,
and I'm sure he got you the 100K one too, didn't he?
I gotta practice my own, darn it.
Okay.
All right, Defender 90, Jerry, thanks so much. So I'll have you back on again, and we'll talk about after the next
new
one,
stuff.
The fall news. So here's what they want. Okay, ready? I'll give it to you right now. Multi-party chat, bigger friends list, DivX support. You know what people really want?
What's that?
They want party system.
A party system would be cool.
Yeah, that's what they want. So
I'd love to hear. And you know, have all your fans write in and let them know what it's.
Oh, they will let us know.
I mean, as we think about party, it's not just a party chat system. I mean,
right.
What we're interested in, what do people want to do inside these type of party chat experiences? Because
right.
Chat definitely has to be part of it. But,
right.
But what other kind of things do they find interesting once they get together?
There you go. So
right now, we know a lot of people do it in Uno.
Right.
Bad way to put that. A lot of people get together in Uno and have party chats. So
right.
One of the things that we want to understand is what are some of the other things that would make that experience interesting? And always like to hear input from your major and your community.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Bye.
There you go. Some dashboard information. Probably nothing that you already didn't know if you've been scouring the internet looking at some things, but maybe something you did learn in there was the fact that the theme, a lot of people had some questions about the theming, so that there it goes. Since we added a new blade, you know, people are asking what's going to happen with the theme. Do the themes get new images? No, there you go. So it's going to pretty much be topical. Whatever's going on in the world, we can change that. Kind of like I talked about in there, kind of like the Google homepage and whatnot. So all right, then. So thanks, Jerry. Thanks for sitting down with me. The dashboard update will be a free update, as you heard, coming next month to an Xbox 360 near you. All right, the next interview I have is with Jeremy, who's the lead developer for Artificial Studios, who is the team behind a demo and a game that's coming out. Demo's up on Marketplace now for Monster Madness Battle for Suburbia. And then the retail game is coming out shortly, so I was able to get Jeremy on the phone to talk about that. When I saw that demo go up on Marketplace and I downloaded it and looked at it, I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting. Let me talk to somebody about that. So that's what I did. Joining me today is Jeremy Steiglitz, who is the president of Artificial Studios and also the lead developer on an upcoming Xbox 360 game called Monster Madness Battle for Suburbia. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm good.
So let's
talk. Tired after all the development, but you know, hang in there.
So let's talk about the game. A lot of people, this game's starting to perk up on some folks' radar. There's some interesting things about this game, but why don't you walk us through what the game's all about from top to bottom and what people can expect?
Sure. It's interesting you use the phrase top to bottom because it is a top-down shooter. at least that's the classic genre that it fits in. It's an action game for 1 to 4 players co-op. And it's very much a fast-paced shooter. I mean, you've got, you know, swords and knives, but soon enough in the game, you start building all sorts of crazy guns, and that's when the game really starts to come into its own. We built the mechanics like an FPS, like a first-person shooter, but we wanted to support co-op gameplay without having to do a split screen. So we looked at the kind of games that have done that in the past, and there was, you know, this story genre of top-down shooters,
mm-hmm.
all the way from Smash TV to Zombies Ate My Neighbors to Hunter the Reckoning. But it had kind of fallen off in recent years as the trend was towards like hyper-real graphics and putting you right in the action. So we thought about how we could update it for the next generation. You know, that really came down to online multiplayer, online co-op, physics, heavy environmental interaction, vehicles, and, of course, good graphics, among other things. So we decided to update this old genre and really take it into the modern era and, you know, add a lot of things while we were doing that. We took a lot of our style cues from things we liked, such as Zombies Ate My Neighbors and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and just tons and tons of cheesy horror movies, and kind of put it all in a blender and just worked the gameplay for a long time until it was as fun as we could possibly make it.
And out comes the game. So this one of the interesting points about this game, it's not an Xbox Live Arcade game. This is an actual retail on a DVD game. But the price point is a little different. Tell us about that.
All right. Well, we definitely ended up putting so much content in the game that it just wouldn't really fit as a Live Arcade game because it's just got a full suite of modes that really cover the gamut from playing it by yourself. I mean, it's a 15-hour adventure campaign if you do it quickly. It's actually made it pretty hard to test because it's become a lot longer than we originally anticipated. It's about 20 levels. Each one takes 45 minutes to an hour to complete, and they're chock full of hidden items to find and exploration elements with a story told through FMVs and interactive in-game cinematics that change depending on which characters are playing. So there's a ton of content in the adventure mode, and you can play it by yourself or with four players, and they can jump in and out at any time. And that's just the adventure mode. So then you go to the offline versus mode, which is more Power Stone style. It's got these arenas filled with traps, and the camera is like a sports camera. It kind of just looks at the whole arena at once and zooms in on whoever's winning, basically, giving the game more of like a sports feel. It's for competitive play. And you can play that online too, but that's also available offline. And there's an online-only multiplayer mode, which is like for 16 players, and it's big arena, it's big battlefields, actually. And the camera follows only you then. It's like more traditional online multiplayer where you're in a big environment and you've got a ton of weapons. You know, power ups all over the environment and vehicles, and it's team versus team or free for all or King of the Hill, such a standard online multiplayer modes. And that mode has a lobby with over 100 options that you can configure for all sorts of crazy game types. So when we put all these things together, it's just there's so much content and playability in the game that it only made sense to do it as a full retail title. There's just hours and hours and hours of fun in there.
So, Jeremy, you talked a little bit about the online. Tell us about some of the key features. I mean, you talked about, first of all, it's got the four-player top-down action for online or offline, but what are some of the online modes that we can enjoy?
Sure. When we put this game together, we originally were just focusing on a good, solid adventure game, a long one that would take about 15 hours to get through. But as we got through it, the core action became so fun that we said, really, we got to have some competitive modes because half the time I just want to blow my buddy up and stop shooting monsters. So we then kind of shifted focus about halfway through development and created a whole dedicated mini team that did nothing but work on the online game the whole remaining 6-7 months of the development cycle. And these guys really focused on creating a solid online game with all the kinds of options you'd expect. So there's two types of online game modes primarily, or two types of levels. There's arena levels and field levels. The arena levels are sports-type arenas, similar to Power Stone or Super Smash Bros. Melee, where the camera has a kind of vantage point that keeps everyone in view and focuses on the entire environment, and you're locked into kind of an arena that's usually filled with traps more often than not. And it's a very, very hectic arena because you can see everyone. There's no hiding. It's just respawn, kill. You know, respawn, kill, or hopefully don't die, but it's right. Nonstop action for however 5 minutes you play. It's actually pretty exasperating. Then you go on, but definitely suits people with short attention spans,
right.
Like me.
Right.
Then you go on to the field levels, which are more for traditional online multiplayer for up to 16 players, and these are very large levels. They're like full game environments, and of course the camera there just focuses on you. Not on everyone. And you can hide, you can snipe, which sounds a little odd when you talk considered a top-down shooter, but actually...
How do you snipe in a top-down shooter?
Well, I will tell you. In that mode, the camera actually switches into more of a chase camera type of viewpoint. So you get a much better view of your environment for like long-range shooting. And then also, the game has vertical auto-aim. So we wanted to make something that didn't require you to be like, you know, aiming in three dimensions. It's really 2.5D in the sense of how the game's aiming works. So as long as you've got a horizontal shot lined up, the game will actually pick the correct appropriate vertical angle for your shot to connect. And it works really well. It actually probably helps snipers quite a bit, maybe a little too much. But then you can get things like moon shoes and various flying vehicles to really add a lot of 3D aiming to it as well, or 3D combat. So it's kind of 2.5D in that respect. Some of the 16-player levels are chock-full of vehicles that they have team game types such as Capture the Flag or Team Deathmatch or Team King of the Hill, and all those are also playable in FFA. And then there's some weirder game types that we came up with, such as Monster Hunter, where everyone starts out as a human, and the first player to die turns into a random monster, and then he has to kill all the humans at that point. But if he kills a human, they also turn into a monster.
Got it.
The last person remaining as a human wins, basically. So it's kind of like a runaway from the monsters. But if you kill a monster, you get a bonus that can actually win you the game, even if you're not the last person. So So you're not necessarily only running away.
So it sounds
like a pretty interesting game mode.
So it sounds like there's different game modes, there's a lot of complexity. I mean, it's simple to pick up and kick in, but once you start digging at it, there's actually a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, I mean, we eventually ended up adding so many options to the online game that we had to create a lobby to support them all. That's just pretty much a full suite lobby system that has all the options accessible to the server, and he can basically create tons of different game types by changing everything from the spawn delay to what weapons and vehicles are available to the nature of how the weapons actually work. And then you can save those options, or you can even randomize them so that you can just kind of get crazy, weird, random game types, some of which are not always fun, but at least, you know, it's kind of a grab bag at that point.
Now, I want to ask you about a couple of things here. A couple of things I've noticed is I was reading up on this and looking at some of the trailers online at your website, and it looks like first of all, you're using the Unreal 3 engine, correct?
Yeah, that has been a huge help.
So that, and you're also using a physics engine as well, correct?
Right. It's the Novadex Aegea physics engine, which really lets us put a lot of objects in the game that can, you know, just bounce all over the environment.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. The objects you've got in the environment. First of all, the environment's fairly interactive, from what I could say. Things are destructible, and you can actually use things as barricades or weapons, and you can actually create your own weapons. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, you don't physically create your weapons, but certainly you can pick up just about anything in the environment and use it as a weapon. You can also actually kind of build guns. But that's done through an interface.
Sure.
That you go to in the game, and you collect various little objects in the game world, and depending on how many you have, you can buy different kinds of upgrades.
Got it.
But it is the case that there are hundreds and hundreds of physical objects in every environment, and most of them you can pick up and wield as a weapon, and they all have different statistics. Some of them are pretty good, some of them are not so good. All of them are kind of unique, and some of them you throw or stab or chop with, and they're usually more for temporary use because you can't take them from level to level. So it's kind of like if you just see something that's really looks really big and there's a bunch of enemies coming towards you and you have no ammo left, you might just pick it up and throw it at them, and more often than not it'll just kill them all because we tended to make the physics weapons pretty powerful to encourage use of them. And additionally, there are lots of destructible elements in the environment. You can bash up cars and fire hydrants and such, and it's usually beneficial to do that to find items that might be lurking inside.
To kill the zombies and whatnot. it's a pretty interesting title that you've come up with. Like I said, I was watching the video, and the top down, it really felt refreshing. It was kind of old school, but it felt right. I think you guys really, the gameplay really looked like a lot of fun. Tell me about, you know, one of the things that everyone wants to know when a new game comes out. Tell me about your achievements. Can you give us a little hint of what you're going to work on with the Xbox 360 achievements?
One of the things about Monster Madness was we wanted to make a game that could be played by young kids, as well as older seasoned gamers like myself.
Sure.
I'm only 23, so I don't know how old I am, but we wanted to make a game that could be played by experts and newcomers alike. So we have a really easy mode called Child's Play, and then a far more difficult mode you actually have to unlock called Madness, which basically reshuffles all the objectives and all the enemies, and kind of the remix mode actually adds a kind of second playthrough to the game. But the achievements were another way that we really could stress kind of the difficulty of the game if you wanted to go that far, if you wanted to push yourself to really master the game. So the achievements are pretty crazy. They're not just simply get to level 10, get to level 11, beat the game. No,
right.
they're mostly things that are really, really weird usually, kind of an emphasizing some non-traditional gameplay. And I'll give you a couple examples. There's one enemy in the game that basically throws cats at you, lots of cats. And
cats.
She also... you're right. She's a cat lady.
Okay.
Mutated zombie cat lady, but still.
But a cat she lady also, nonetheless.
Yeah. She also creates a shield of cats that kind of run around her, and if you light them all on fire, you'll create a flaming cat shield, which basically kills them really quickly. And that's kind of a hard thing to do, but to do that, you get the Did Someone Order Chinese achievement.
Right.
Let's see what else we got here. You also, there's a bunch of escape and chase sequences in the game. They're all quite difficult, but if you beat some of them without boosting, without using a vehicle boost at all, then you get an achievement for that. And that basically requires a flawless playthrough. You can't hit anything or you'll not have enough time to make it out. Then there are a bunch of online multiplayer achievements that are really weird, like if you play a versus arena battle, one of those Smash Brothers type levels, and you only and you beat everyone, and all the multiplayer achievements, of course, are only for ranked games, because
sure.
Who the hell knows what the configurations might be for a player match. But if you play a ranked game, and you kill everyone with only using your melee weapon, and you win the game, that is, only using your sword, basically, and everyone else is using their guns, you get an achievement for that because you really are good. And so we tried to kind of stress the non-traditional aspects of the gameplay. Another achievement is some of the monsters don't like each other too much. You have to figure out which ones. And if you get them all to fight and kill each other, and you don't even intervene, you get the Fight Club achievement. So we kind of, most of the achievements, we describe how to beat them, how to get them, because they're very obscure. But there's also a couple hidden ones, well, I would say about 10 or so hidden ones that people just have to discover for themselves. It might take a while because they're definitely pretty wacky.
Sure.
And not too easy to get either. I should also note that beyond the achievements, we also have 100 cheats in the game, or over 100. The cheats are not exactly what you would necessarily consider to be a cheat. They don't actually help you get through the game. They're just actually weird modifiers that make the game somewhat different to play if you're into that kind of thing.
Sure.
For example, the cheat that actually lets you play the whole game in first person, which was kind of fun to do.
Wow.
Because we basically at some point found that our mechanics were actually just FPS mechanics transplanted into a top-down shooter. So all we did was we put the camera at the character's head, at its head location, and it actually turned out that the game played just like an FPS. And then we did a few tweaks to make sure the gun stayed in view and all that. But so that was a fun little cheat to do. And then there's ones which will turn the world upside down or cause the physics to go wacky or let you jump a huge height and then stomp on enemies' heads to kill them. I think that might sound familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many. We made a cheat for every person on the development team and then some. So most of these cheats will actually disable progression in the game because they tend to make the game easier or something.
Sure.
But they're definitely fun to mess around with, and you can combine them to create all sorts of weird modifiers to basically make the game, very, very replayable.
So it's, it's kind of like, obviously on consoles we don't have the ability to do like all the mods like they do on the PC, so you're kind of allowing people to quote-unquote mod their game a little bit for their own fun.
I definitely wanted to have the experience of, like, you could kind of make the game your own by setting all sorts of different values, and then someone might walk in the room and say, "You're playing Monster Madness? That doesn't look like Monster Madness." And you're like, "Yeah, it is. Here, I just enabled these 20 cheats, and now the game is totally weird." But, it's for our own amusement, it definitely has helped us chuckle through this very grinding development cycle.
How long was this?
I think
how long has the game been in development?
Not very long, but it's been a pretty intense 11 months, actually. We
wow.
really just started before last year's E3, kind of had a little bit of a initial grind to work up a demo for E3 2006. And then it was just a beeline to this May, where we actually are standing with the effectively completed game. So it's been a very rapid development cycle as they go. I have to credit Unreal Engine 3 for making that possible, because we just had to hit the ground running from day one. So we really kind of, Epic had gotten pretty far along with Unreal Engine 3, with Gears and all that. So we were actually had a fully working Xbox 360 game engine, and just were able to start putting our game together on it without having to start from scratch or anything.
Sure. And if I understand this correctly, it's coming out for the Xbox 360 in May, as well as the PC?
Yeah, it's a simultaneous launch on PC and Xbox 360. If you ask me, the Xbox 360 version is about 100 times better, but oh well.
You talked about development. How is it to develop it for... I mean, it's not like you got to the end of the cycle and said, okay, export for Xbox 360 and export for PC, and then walked away. I mean, you kind of had to do some tweaking for both platforms, correct?
We do. One of the things about the game is it's certainly... You look at it and you think that's a console game. So there was some adaption that had to take place in the sense of getting it to work nicely with the mouse and keyboard setup, which, needless to say, is how many PC gamers play. That said, the best way to play is by far the Xbox 360 controller. So when we do our development on PC, we all have 360 controllers hooked up to our PCs.
Right.
Luckily, Unreal Engine 3 is a pretty good multi-platform game engine. So basically we were able to make the same content work on both the PC and the Xbox. If we push a little further, we probably could get the cross-platform play to work, but that may be for the future, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the case that it would have only been possible by using Unreal Engine 3. I would never even considered doing a game for more than one platform without it. We still have a few tweaks to do with the PC version. That 360 version kind of locked first. Now
sure.
Going through submission process, can we take a little extra time, a couple weeks, and just put our final interface changes onto the PC version?
Right.
Unfortunately, the PC version is not going to have all the great matchmaking capabilities that the Xbox version is.
Or the achievements.
Nor the achievements. I know which version I'll be playing when it comes out.
That's true. So, Jeremy, it sounds like a great game. Monster Madness, Battle for Suburbia. That's the long story. What's the story behind the title?
It's a long one, so I'll try to keep it brief. But I'm pretty young. I'm only 23, so I spent my college years working on game software, game engine, 3D game engine. And eventually that got me in touch with Epic, who were interested in some of the technology. I worked with them for a little while, and they helped us use Unreal Engine 3 effectively, which kind of got us started in terms of legitimate game development later in 2005. Spent a while trying to figure out what I was going to do with Unreal Engine 3. That's a lot of power, and I didn't really know how I would find a publisher and a team, but eventually I just kind of stuck in there and developed a small demo of Monster Madness that really just was proof of concept. And it showed it off long enough to the point where the publisher, South Peak, thought it was pretty cool looking. Also, it didn't hurt that I had spent some of my other time, my other spare time, what little I have, working on this game called Cell Factor. It was a demo for Aegea, a physics company. It was a psychic-powered FPS to show off some of their physics capabilities. And we showed that off at one of the GDCs, and that's where I met South Peak. And they saw Cell Factor, which is cool, psychic-powered FPS, and they saw Monster Madness, a proof of concept demo, and they said, we want to publish Monster Madness. And I knew enough people from the University of Florida, which is where we're located in Gainesville, knew enough people there who were really good computer engineers to basically join in the fun at that point and start making the game with me. And that, by that point, it was basically May 2006, so we just had quite a little bit of a grind ahead of us. But everyone knew this was the chance of a lifetime, so
yeah.
We just kind of seized it, and here we are.
So not only are you working on a game, but you're also the president of your own studio, basically right out of college.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you woke up and said, "Wait a minute, I'm in charge of a studio."
Yeah, it means I have a lot of people looking to me every day. But on the other hand, I get to make the cool decisions about what we do. So
right.
I'd say it's probably worth it.
Cool. Well, Jeremy Steiglitz, I'm going to let you go. You're bringing Monster Madness, Battle for Suburbia to the Xbox 360 and Windows in May. Tell me, I ask all my guests this. What's your gamer tag?
It is Helix Core. That is HelixCore. It used to be really high up in the Halo 2 rankings. I bet it's gone way down since we got so busy finishing Monster Madness. But I'll be back.
Yeah, you'll
show
be
all your news out.
Well, that's good to know. Jeremy, I appreciate your time today, and good luck with the launch, and I look forward to seeing you online with Monster Madness.
Thanks a lot. It's going to be fun. See ya.
Thank you, Jeremy. Monster Madness Battle for Suburbia is coming soon. I guess it just says, he says next month, so we'll see if it comes out next month. So it looks like an interesting title. There's a demo up on Xbox Live right now if you're interested in checking that out. Free demo. All right, so my final interview today is with, I don't know if she needs any introduction, so we'll just go into it. All right, my final guest this week is Trixie, because because I promised you, right?
Yeah, you did promise me.
So I promised you that I would have you on the show to talk about, let's talk about what you want to talk about.
Okay.
And it's not Gamer Chicks.
No.
What is it?
It is about a contest I'm doing called My Mom's a Gamer.
Your Mom's a Gamer. Okay. And tell us about this contest, won't you, Trixie?
Well, okay, if you insist. I will tell you, this is sort of in honor of Mother's Day.
Which is coming up in... Now, is Mother's Day global?
No, it's in the U.S. Okay, I think it might be Canada as well, but I know the UK has a different day, and it's already passed.
Okay.
Because I had some UK gamers sending me messages like, uh-oh, what have I done? I missed it.
Okay.
But this contest is good for the U.S. and Canada. We really tried hard to involve some more countries besides just the U.S. this time, but Canada was all I could do.
Yeah, you're only one person. It's tough to get a contest working around the globe.
It really
is. As we know. But let's talk about what the cool thing is that you can win an Xbox 360 Elite.
That is right.
That's the black bad boy.
That is the big black bad
boy. So what do they have to do?
So what they need to do, and I know this sounds kind of not gamery because you're not competing with your trigger finger, but it's basically an essay contest.
I have to write an essay?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't have to be like the big, scary five-paragraph essay that gets, you know, red-penciled and sent back to you. But I just
Are you going to correct them all and give them a grade?
Hell no, because you know what? I've already got 800 entries.
You do?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so what do they have to do?
So they just need to tell us about their mom's games.
250 words or less.
No, 250 word minimum.
Oh, at least 250 words.
Yeah, and guys, the two sentences that you've been sending me, or those of you who just send your gamer tag, that ain't going to cut it.
You got to put some thought behind this.
Yeah, yeah. Which, well, I'm kind of surprised. You have until May 6th, actually, to do this. So you might want to, you know, run spell check a couple times, maybe.
Do you really get stuff that hasn't been spell checked?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Okay.
But anyway, just tell us about your mom's gaming. And, you know, honestly, it doesn't have to be Xbox gaming. If she plays the Wii, fine. If she's a gamer, if she plays PC, if she's a Sims addict, super. That's great. I just want to hear about moms that are gamers.
Okay.
And then the winning entry, you're going to get a $100 gift certificate to a florist so that you can send your mom a big, fat, beautiful bouquet for Mother's Day.
Good.
And you...
Moms always love flowers.
Moms love flowers. And you win an Xbox 360 Elite.
That's fantastic. So they'll get that.
I want one.
They'll get that like in the middle of late May when it comes out, because it comes out at the end of the month.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. So let's go over some of the things. You have to be minimum 250 words to 500 words.
Yep.
Received by May 6th. This is North America and Canada only.
North America and Canada, except for Quebec. You know, I can't help that. It's not, you're not eligible in Quebec. Talk to your government. I just.
Okay. I think it's a magistrate.
Yes.
Okay.
Sweet.
So you have to be at least 13 years old, which is kind of cool for the youngins.
Me too. And I know I have gotten some kind of annoyed emails from people saying, "Well, my kids are, you know, 7 and 8 and stuff." And I feel your pain. I do, but I cannot take any information from someone under 13 because of the laws we have, the COPPA law.
Mm-hmm.
They can't send me email. They can't do anything. So I love the fact that you have kids and you want to enter them, and we love the gaming kids, but I legally can't take an entry from anyone under the age of 13.
Okay, that's fine. And then you're looking for somebody. I'm just looking. So you go up to xbox.com/community, and there's a page up here. It's got a nice retro-looking mom who's holding an Xbox 360 Elite. And what else? So you have to be... You have to mail your entries to xlmail@microsoft.com.
Yep.
Subject, my mom's a gamer. You take Word docs. You take any type of doc,
yeah,
right?
I've mostly been getting them in the email itself, in the body of the email. Yeah. That's fine. Don't send me any wacky, you know, attachments.
Now, we're going to show, you're going to pull up, like, some of the, to be clear, you're going to pull up, you're going to, you know, whittle them down to the best 10 or 20, and then we're going to look through them here in the office and come up with something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to, I get the
pleasure. This is the second time my phone has gone off when I'm on the phone.
Why don't you put it on silent like a polite person does when they're talking to their friends?
You know, people think that, I want to talk about this for a second. People think this is the, I'm not answering it. Hold on.
Thank you.
Actually, I do need to answer this. It may be my luggage. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Hello? That would be me. Okay. I'm good.
Stop. Anyway, we were just talking about that phone ring. I had to stop it. That was my luggage. People think that ringtone is from 24, and it may or may not be, but it's actually an old school ringtone from an old phone system called the Merlin phone system. So that's where it's
Merlin
from, people.
Phone system.
Yeah, it was like you had to get it. It was like a big phone you got into an office. But anyway, I'm sorry. We had to actually pause there because that was my luggage.
I know. Your luggage was calling.
My luggage was...
You left us at the airport.
No, I didn't leave my luggage in Chicago. It decided to stay behind because it enjoyed the snow. I have a present for you in the luggage.
You do?
I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Oh, go get it.
I'll bring it in Monday.
Right now.
I'll bring it in tomorrow. So
okay.
Anyway, so we're back talking about the My Mom's a Gamer. That's kind of a cool contest.
I'm kind of excited about it. We've had a lot of traffic on the page, and like I said, 800 entries already, and it's only been 3 days. So kind of scared to see how many of these I'm going to get by May 6th, because I'm going to have to read them all. And then, like you were saying before, your phone so rudely interrupted us.
Yes.
Then I'm gonna choose, you know, 25, 30 of the really, really standout great ones. And by that, I don't mean that you're your Hemingway, your writing is spectacular. Just you've got a good story. You obviously, you know, respect and admire your mom. Honestly, I'm going to tell you that the sob stories about how you can't afford an elite or, you know, I don't want to hear that.
You want to hear about how your mom is great.
I want to hear about how your mom is great. I don't want to. I'm not going to send the elite to the person who's got the saddest sob
story. I didn't tell you the story. When I was in New York at the Gene Simmons event, the Guitar Hero event earlier this week.
Can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
Does Gene Simmons smell like Viagra?
I won't. I don't know. I don't know what Viagra smells
like. Oh, like hell you don't.
Why we got to do this? So I'm at the event, and I was meeting this really nice kid. I met a lot of people there. But this young gentleman came up to me, shook my hand. He really wanted to meet me, so we're chatting. And his mom came up. He says, hi, I'm his mom. So we're talking, and he was telling me how he was really excited about the Elite. And they didn't know if they were going to be able to pre-order it. They really wanted to get one. And I said, well, since your mom's already a gamer, his mom plays Halo, I said, just go up to Xbox.com, and you'll see the My Mom's a Gamer contest, and you can win one.
Cool.
So I was pointing people your way. There's a lot of people there who weren't even aware of this. So that just went up a few days ago, right?
It just went up on Tuesday, yeah. But I've seen it on Joystick and Kotaku and Wired's Game Life blog. So it's kind of making
What do you need to be on my show for? You're already getting the big coverage.
Because your coverage is the biggest.
No, stop it. Viagra. That's just silly. All right, so My Mom's a Gamer. That's cool. You got anything else you want to add while you're in here?
I do want to add that for the dads out there, I am going to be doing a Father's Day contest in June. So
are you going to give away another Elite?
I'm not. I've got
some other cool stuff.
I've got some really, really cool stuff that I've had in my office for a couple months that I've just been waiting for the perfect opportunity. And you know, actually, if you guys have some ideas about what the Father's Day contest should be, because I've got a couple ideas I'm kicking around, but I'd love to hear from you. You could send me your ideas at Excel Mail.
Here's what dads want.
At Microsoft.com.
Dads want...
Strippers? I'm not providing those. Sorry.
No.
Giant screen TVs?
That's
uh-uh.
it. Dads want electronics. They want electronics. They want golf clubs. They want a day away from the family. They want to go out and just be a bachelor again. That's what they want.
Yeah, well, that's not going to be the prize.
Okay.
Day in Vegas.
All right, dads, I'm pulling for you, dads.
He's pulling for you, but, you know, I do have to get all my contests through a legal review, and I don't think that would fly.
See on the, I actually fill out the work with legal, and you get that phone call from legal. Let me get this straight. You want to give away a what? Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty short conversation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I try to stay on their good side most of the time.
How's Luxor?
I like it.
Luxor 2?
I really like
it. So for those people that don't know, Trixie works in the community team here on Xbox.com. She works with me. And she is a huge Zuma fan, and now Luxor 2 came out, which I call Zuma with buildings.
No, it's Zuma in Egypt. That's what
Zuma,
I call it.
Egyptian Zuma.
Yeah, which is cool because I love
Where's
Egypt.
Where's your Moses now?
That's right.
I don't know where.
I love Egypt. In fact, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an Egyptologist when I grew up. That was probably the longest word I knew. But
Which I assume is an expert in Egypt.
That's right. An archaeologist that specializes in Egypt.
What do you like about Egypt?
It's just so old and elegant and different and
Have you been?
No.
I haven't been
Someday, either. Though. Well, I keep hearing about bad stuff happening to tourists over there, but they keep finding new cool stuff, you know, like they found a tomb about 10 years ago that, I mean, you know, had been hidden for thousands and thousands of years. I love that there's still cool stuff that we haven't discovered yet.
So we know what we must talk about.
What's that?
Before I let you go. Did you watch Planet Earth this week?
No.
Oh, my God.
I had the most terrible technical difficulty. I get home, and I'm all stoked because I've just kind of been learning the tricks of DVR because I just got it for Christmas. And I had all my Planet Earth on there.
3 months later, she doesn't understand
it. Shut up. I know how to press the button. Mm-hmm. And plus, I was, you know, going through and, like, clicking all the different incarnations of Law & Order because I love that. It's, like, the only TV I watch mm-hmm. besides Planet Earth. So I go home, and my DVR is empty. Nothing. 0% filled.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. How the hell does that happen?
You have kids.
Seriously. Exactly.
So anyway, last week on Planet Earth is a series. I remember when it first came on, you and I were going back and forth, and I am about it, and E's been talking about it. Planet Earth was on last week, and it is. It totally resets the expectations about what a nature show should be.
Oh yeah.
And I you really need to see this one where they had the great white sharks coming up out of the ocean and getting the seals. It was.
Oh, I think I saw a little bit of that.
No,
when
this
they were
though,
showing
you have
previews.
You
for the
yeah.
Other ones.
You have this is just unbelievable. Planet Earth
time lapse thing with you could see that thing coming up out of the water and then twisting and. Blech.
It's actually high speed.
Was it?
Yeah, because the more film you go through, then it goes slower when it plays back.
Backwards.
So they do it.
But you could see exactly right. What the shark
like,
was doing.
Like microsecond by microsecond, if that's
sharks
possible.
Sharks scare the crap out of me. How can you go under the water when there's sharks somewhere in the same water?
I dive with them.
That's insane.
I'm not diving with the great whites.
That's nuts.
It is nuts. And I'll never forget the first time I saw a shark when I was underwater. It was in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And I'm underwater, and I remember...
You're just chilling.
I'm just chilling. And I'm underwater with a group of us, like five. I think it was six or eight of us, because you're always... You know, you have a dive buddy. And the dive master who goes down with us, and I'm going to... This is a visual. He goes down on the bottom of us, and we're kind of all hanging out on the floor.
You should see him waving his hands
around. And he looks off, and he points over there, and when the universal signal for shark when you're underwater is this. and so just for those of you listening, what it is, it's you hold you divers, you know exactly what I'm going to do. You hold your hand up like it's a fin, and you put it on your head.
The dorsal fin?
Right. So he goes like
this. You also go, dunna.
No. So he holds his hand up like this, and then he points over there, and I'm like, oh, that's cool,
so
a shark.
Like shark.
Right.
That,
so we see the shark, and it was probably a 10 or 15-foot nurse shark.
Oh, God.
And it was under this reef, so you can kind of see it. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And I'm kind of just watching him, probably about 20 feet away. Mm. And then the shark comes out and kind of just turns around and does a dust up. You know, just kind of all this stuff on the bottom of the ocean. He kind of resettles himself. And I kind of backed up a little bit and I realized there's no glass between that shark and me, like in an aquarium.
There's nothing between you and those teeth.
I need to back up. So that was my shark story.
Yeah, I would not be down with that. I freak out when I see a spider and like put a door between me and the spider.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up here, but we wanted to. I'm sorry, we totally got off track there. My mom's a gamer.
Yeah. So check it out on Xbox.
Trixie likes the words as I posted earlier this week.
I like the words. Words are important. Words are good.
So, people, if you have any questions, contact Trixie at Trixie360. That's her gamer tag.
Thanks.
What? They always want to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
They love talking to you.
Hear my voice.
So send her a message.
Yeah, send me a message. And also, if you do, dads, if you've got ideas about what I should do for a...
Father's Day.
Father's Day contest. Yeah, I already have the prize.
And make it legal.
Pass, but what you have to do to get the prize, I could take some ideas on that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Midge.
Okay, I'll have you on again. You want to talk about gamer chicks?
I want you to tell me what Gene Simmons smells like the next time.
I don't even remember. If you looked, so if you go...
You were pretty dang close.
Go up to Xbox.com and take a look at the video. Now, I must tell them this story. Can I tell the story?
Okay.
The video that you see, let me just be very clear, people. If you go up to Xbox.com, and where is it? Is it in the community section? Do you have it over there?
No, it's still on the front page.
Okay, so go to the front page of Xbox.com, and then you'll see the Guitar Hero thing. And
there it is.
There it is. So you'll see it, and there's a Guitar Hero page. I'll put a link to it. I did this video interview. Now, the video interview that you'll see on Xbox.com, Major Interviews, Gene Simmons. It is the G-rated version.
Yeah.
Gene got a little racy.
Well, and the funny thing is that you handed it to us. You were still in New York, and me and our managing editor, Highbury Gunner, we were both supposed to review it, and he was in meetings, so I'm like, okay, let's put it up, but we have to age gate it because it's kind of nasty. So then later in the day, go ahead, Mage.
Go ahead. I get an email saying...
Highbury Gunner finally takes a look at it and was like, he's a Brit, so he's like, oh my God.
We have to re-edit it. So we ended up doing a re-edit. But even the re-edit, so just be clear, the version that was up there was, there's a full unedited version that no one has ever seen before.
You can't tell them that. They're just going to want to see it.
Well, it's maybe someday, but there's a full unedited version that no one has ever seen outside these walls.
No one should see it.
And so there's, anyway, but Gene was...
Disgusting.
He was nice. He's very, very nice. He's very gentleman, very interested in the ladies in the room.
Yeah, he was particularly interested in Dirty Diva, I hear.
Yeah, so I have some photos of that.
Yeah.
He was a nice gentleman. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, Guitar Hero, check that out. But that's not what we're really talking about. We're talking about My Mom's a Gamer.
My Mom's a Gamer. I think we got it covered. They get it. You have until May 6th to write an essay if you're in the U.S. or in Canada, except for Quebec.
Win an Xbox 360 Elite just by using your fantastic word skills.
Yeah.
Your mad word skills.
Mad word skills.
All right, I'm done. I'm going to thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
And there you go. If you're a resident of those areas, you can win an Xbox 360 Elite for Mother's Day. So good luck on that, and check that out. So, I have to apologize because normally my blog, I like to post, you know, what's coming up in the marketplace. So I'm usually right on top of that. But I missed a couple things this week due to my travel schedule. So for that, I'm sorry. There was one particular demo. There was a Shrek demo that totally escaped me. I totally blew right by me. So there's a couple of other things here and there that I missed. So I need to refocus on that. So I apologize in advance for that. You know, I post most of the interesting things on Marketplace. I'll post up there. For instance, I always make sure I get demos up there and try to highlight as much of the content as possible. But sometimes it's just overwhelming with all the content that's coming by here. So I think it's time to play Name the Game, don't you? Why, I do. Thank you for answering that way. So let's go ahead and play Name the Game. Name the Game is the longest-running game contest. I don't know. I'm just going to say that. It's the longest-running game contest for any podcast ever in the history of mankind. And what it is I play a small clip of an Xbox or an Xbox 360 title, and you write in and guess what that is, and then I take all the correct answers and pull a winner out, and that's the way it works. So here's the clip from last time's Name the Game. Easy, very easy if you download all your Xbox Live Arcade games and play them, because you can also play the trial, right? So you don't even need to purchase them to figure out what that is. That is, I think I gave it away already. It's Alien Hominid HD. Alien Hominid HD was the correct answer for that Name the Game. And let me pull into my all the correct answers received. People that send me email, major@xbox.com. Let's take a look here. And here's the winner. The winner is... He doesn't have a gamer tag. Okay. Or maybe he does, but he just gave me his first name. Richard of Winnipeg, Canada. Richard of Winnipeg, Canada, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset. Well done, my friend. And get yourself a gamer tag. I'll be in touch with you at your email address. And then we have room for another Name the Game. So here is this week's Name the Game. If you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, major@xbox.com, and put in the subject line, Name the Game, colon, what your guess is, and then in the body, your gamer tag, if you have one, optional, tell me where you're from. Speaking of where you're from, I want to talk about major@xbox.com. If your email address has a bunch of crazy characters in it, or doesn't really equal what your name is, most likely, unfortunately, the big spam bot will flag it and I'll never see it. So, you know, try to use your real name or, you know, something, your alias. But, you know, if I XXXOOO, killer XXXOOO, that probably is not going to get through the spam, my email spam. So just keep that in mind. If you don't get a response, probably because it got flagged and deleted. Spam is a bad thing in the world, isn't it? But I was talking about, you know, where you're from. You know, when I went to New York, I was thinking about this on the plane back. Yeah, that's how quick I am. I was thinking about it on the plane back. When we do, you know, when we do these events like we did this one in New York, would it make sense to have like a like the night before or maybe the night of, or, you know, sometimes around the event, would it make sense to have a like an event or a party or like a meetup for area Xbox Live members? Would you guys like that? I'm not talking about anything official and you know, really like coordinated well, but I mean, maybe somebody could say, hey, let's go down to this bar, this restaurant at this specific time, and we'll meet up at 7 o'clock, and everybody buys their own drinks. I'm not buying everybody drinks and food, let me be clear, but just kind of to hang out, and, you know, I'll bring some prizes, but just to hang out and kind of meet each other. What do you guys think of that idea? Let me know. I think I'm scheduled to go back to New York in a couple months for something. So maybe we'll try that in New York, or, you know, I know that I wish we did events all over the, you know, all over the country. In fact, all over the world at some of the other areas of the country. Cause I'd love to meet some people, but I've been talking about this for a while, but I need to get serious. Maybe it's just a matter of getting somebody from the community to organize it and tell me where to show up. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there and see what you guys thought of that. Let me know what you think. Let me take a look at my notes here. Looks like it's gadget time. So this is the part of the show. I usually do Xbox 101 and then gadgets, but we did the Xbox 101 at the top of the show talking about the Halo 2 maps and making sure that you get your credit card in there.
so that you can purchase those. So I'm glad we got that out of the way. But I want to talk about gadgets for a second. A couple of gadgets that I want to talk about. Well, this isn't really a gadget, but it's worth mentioning. When I was at when I was staying in New York, I was staying at the Marriott Marquis, and this hotel, it's one of the larger Midtown Manhattan hotels. They had one of the most amazing elevator systems, and you're probably thinking to yourself, "What? How could an elevator system be amazing?" Hear me out. Listen to this. This is truly amazing. You go into they had a bank of probably like maybe 10 or 15 elevators, and what you do is you go in. And there's no concept of up or down. There's a keypad, and you punch in the two-digit floor that you want to go to. So I want to go to, 15. And then it immediately lights up and tells me, there's a little display right there, it tells me go to, elevator, they were A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, so on and so forth. So it says go to elevator D. So you'll go over to elevator D, it opens up and you get in. There's no buttons, there's a little display that tells you what floors it's going to stop on, and off you go. I was so impressed with this system, the way it does the load management. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense of how to run a large number of elevators, or lifts as they're called over the UK, how to run a large number of lifts to handle a lot of people. So it was really brilliant because you just tell it what floor you want to go to, and the computer is obviously dynamically making changes and monitoring who's going where. So it blew my mind. So, again, not really a gadget, but as far as I'm concerned, way cool stuff. One of the gadgets that I did have a lot, that I talked a lot about on the show, was really, or excuse me, on my trip, was my Trio 750, which was really pretty cool. The way I could tether it to my laptop, it was really amazing. I was on the train from the Boston area down to New York, and I was having a video conference through MSN Messenger, because my laptop has a little video camera built in, and I was having a video conference with my sister, and it was really pretty amazing. Speaking of my sister, I wanted to lay this out to you. Think of that. I spent some time with her last week, and she's writing a paper for her master's class on video games and libraries. And I asked her if I could post it when she's done and she gets it back. And she's thinking about that. But I want to know if you'd be interested in thinking and reading about that. People who are really what she would consider hardcore gamers. And really, it's about a system to allow people to rent to borrow video games in a library scenario. So anyway, my sister's really into books and whatnot. I was the one that wasn't into the books, as you can tell. but anyway, so I digress there. Getting back to my gadget story. So yeah, my Trio 750 was just phenomenal. Loved it. And now I like that when I travel, but it's a little too big for me when I'm just kind of around town. So I'm back on my dash right now. But I love the Trio. I want to talk about gadgets. I needed a new set of headphones for my iPod and my Zune when I was traveling. And I picked up these Sennheiser headphones. And I got to tell you, these are the worst headphones I have ever had. What model are they? They are the MX-55. So I paid like, I think, $30 or $40 for these things. The little in-ear earbuds. And I got to tell you, these are the worst thing I ever purchased. Let me tell you why. The little plastic casing on them just kind of slides off on the ears. They've got this little plastic out thing. Apparently you can change like just a little plastic piece. But more importantly, and I can't figure this out. So you know how and I'm playing with them as I talk to you here. You can hear them on my keyboard. The wires go up and it goes into one ear and then the other? Well, like, what is this? The left side is literally like 6 inches shorter than the right side, and I don't know why. So when you put them into your ears, they don't come down to like the middle of your chest to hang out. It's like way off to the left hand side. It's stupid. Stupid design. Plus there's like 12 feet of cord here. I absolutely hate these things. I hate these. What are they again? I love Sennheiser stuff, but they screwed the pooch on these headphones. The MX-55s. Can't tell you, I don't like them at all. I think I'm going to buy a pair of Shure headphones. Those nice little in-ear ones. I think I'll get those for my guy. Anybody have those? Anybody have the Shures? Let me know. What else do I have? Oh, this is actually nifty. When I travel, as you guys know, I have, for Xbox.com, we have I travel with Video Monkey. That's his gamer. I think that's his, yeah, his gamer tag. Video Monkey and I do all those videos that we were talking about earlier on. And, he and I are shuttling large files back and forth because he's cutting. I get them onto a device and bring them up to my room, and then I send them back to Xbox.com. And I bought this. I got this really great device. It is the. It's an IBM external hard drive. It's a portable 80 gig USB 2.0 hard drive that is completely powered off USB. So this is. So basically, it has two cords in the back. Both of them plug in. So one plug plugs into your USB port in your laptop, and the other plug plugs into another USB port. So one does the data, and one does the one does the data, and one does the power. And it's great. It's this tiny little thing. Now, it's funny. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago about the Elite. And the Elite, and specifically around the 120 gig hard drive, how it was going to be $179, and people were really upset at that. This thing costs me $250, and it's only 80 gigs. So this is the portable 80 gig USB 2.0 hard drive. And I don't know if there's a part number here or what it is, but it's the IBM. You can do a search for it. It's pretty straightforward. So that's, I just wanted to bring that point up, is that I had to get a large hard drive because we were moving a lot of these files around. And sure enough, this particular hard drive, which is 80 gigs, is $250? It's pretty expensive. So that's, just keep that in mind. So that's the fun gadget that I got here. All right, I think I'm wrapping up the show right now. I just want to bring you guys up to speed on a couple things that are going to be happening. MajorNelson.com, the blog itself, which is now this huge entity in the internet, we're working on some upgrades. We're going to be upgrading to a new version of Community Server. We're moving to a new server. There's a couple of things that are going to be happening. So I'll be sure to post about this, but there's going to be a time where we have to shut comments off so that we can move the database, because you can't be writing to a database while you're moving it. So we're going to have to shut comments off, and we're going to have to do some things, and there'll be some maintenance over the next week or so, probably 6 to 8 days away, but I want to give you a heads up that we're going to be doing some upgrades there. We're going to upgrade to the newer version of Community Server, and so there's some so on and so forth. I also want to ask you, for those people that post on the blog at MajorNelson.com, I was thinking of, we've got the registration system where you post under your gamer tag. I was thinking of maybe, I don't know, thinking about, do I need to redo this? So open to feedback. As always, I appreciate all your comments. So that's the update around the MajorNelson.com. So I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net. They're working on the upgrade for me. They provide MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. Thank you, guys. Also thanking CashFly for their excellent caching services for this show and many more like it. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. I'll be back next week with more stuff. But in the meantime, as you can tell from the music, I need to go watch The Sopranos. So I'm going to go do that while you finish the show up. And I appreciate, again, I appreciate you downloading the show. So this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thanks for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint. And I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Bye-bye.
I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one. One in a million, I believe I'm gonna burn to shine. I was born under a bad sign with a blue moon in my eye. And I woke up this morning.
You know, the after shows just aren't any fun unless I have someone to talk to, so I'll just sit here and talk to myself. Again, it was great seeing all of you in New York. I loved going out and doing these events. What do you think? Do you think it would be great to do, do like unofficial get-togethers and at least meet and greets? because we're always, you know, getting together online. Does it make any sense to do it in person? I've talked about it for a while, but gosh darn it, we need to do it, don't we? Hey, you know what? I was asked, a lot of people in New York were asking me, you know, because I was actually buying music in the Virgin Megastore, because it's always great to go to record stores and find new music. And this is actually a little known fact about me. One of the types of music that I actually love the most is trance and electronica. And one label in particular that I listen to a lot to is the Rasa Music label. And I'll put a link to that. But Rasa Music makes some of the best music. It just kind of sits in the back and you can listen to it while you're gaming. It is a blast. So if you get a chance to listen to some Rasa music, or you can pick up a CD. I don't think it's available online anywhere. I've never ever seen any available online. You know, like iTunes or any of the music stores are over at Zune. Speaking of Zune, should I, I guess I should probably get somebody on to talk about Zune soon. Shouldn't I? Maybe I should. Let's see what else. Hey, the guys from Joystick were great. They gave me, one of the guys came by and gave me a Kirby game for my DS. It was really nice of them. You guys are great. It was great meeting you guys in New York. So I'll get you on next week. I don't know what I'm going to do for a show next week. I have no idea. You know, I sometimes the shows come together, sometimes they don't. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. I enjoyed putting it together. I really enjoy putting the shows together when I have some good interviews and so forth. So also let me be clear. You know, and I didn't talk about this in the show, but there was some questions around, and I probably should go back and talk about it, but you know, I'm not going to, because you'll hear it here, is around the Guitar Hero 2 content about prices are being set by the publisher and that we provide guidelines and tiers. Ultimately, the publishers price their content. That's the official line. People come back and say, well, what about the Epic situation? Well, the Epic situation is a little different because Microsoft is the publisher. So again, I'm not involved in those conversations, so I need to get somebody on who can answer those questions. Unfortunately, I don't have all the questions. Sometimes there's questions I don't have, and I apologize. But I will do my best to get some questions, and sometimes I can't get the questions within 10 minutes. Sometimes it takes a while to get to the right person. So I will always do my best for you guys and girls. Appreciate you downloading the show and your continued support, and hopefully you're enjoying it. And hey, what up, guys? When am I going to be able to be on your show? What's the deal with that? Come on, I want to come on the show for one up. Don't know why they've never invited me. Been on to some other podcasts, but never the one-up show. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have fun. Bye-bye.